Holy Father, we have your holy word before us, this treasure that you've given us, that we might know you, and that we might know the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that you would use this time from your scriptures to strengthen us, to teach us, conform us more and more to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are in Psalm 119 again this evening. We'll be reading verses 73 through 80. It's the 10th stanza in this psalm that has 22 of them, each being 8 verses in length, and each verse starting with the same letter in a given stanza. An amazing, amazing work of poetry. So I will read the psalm and then make some observations for us to consider. Beginning with verse 73. Your hands made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word, your servant. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame or be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. This is the holy word of our Lord. I believe that tonight, if there's anything we would all agree on, that's that we live in an unstable world. There's disorder all around us. There's tension far away and near. Sin is throughout this globe practiced by men, women, and nations. And sin is nearby, all around us, and sin is inside of us. And we've all also experienced instability that comes from circumstances beyond our control, some of which are incredibly difficult. And also, how many of us have experienced instability because our hearts are weighed down? They're exhausted, they're confused, they're weak. Our souls tremble because others have sinned greatly against us, or we have sinned against God and others, and we don't know what to do. Is there hope? Is there any hope in a world that is so unstable? Add to this what we just sang about the existence of a real devil. Not a toy, a real wicked devil with minions and minions of those who serve him with subtle schemes meant to harm God's church. So how do we retain stability in an unstable world? Well, I believe there's great hope And I believe the psalmist in this passage exhibits how we can do this. The principle that I would set before you, there are many in this passage, but the one I would set before you tonight is that holding fast the perfections of God provides stability in an unstable world. Holding fast the perfections of God provides stability in an unstable world. Now, by way of context, let's consider this psalmist. This was a man who revered his God. And we see this, for example, in verse 63, going back in the psalm, where he said, "I am a companion of those who fear you." And we see his prayer in verse 74 in this stanza, in which he prays, "May those who see me be glad because I wait for your word." I should say, "May those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait for your word." He revered his God, and he wanted the fellowship of those who revere the Lord. And in verse 79, in the midst of his troubles and his immense struggles, his prayer is that may know those who fear me turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. So this was a man who revered his God. He longed for the fellowship of those who had the same heart, just like we should, and he longed for their support in times of trouble. And this was a man who also loved his God and desired to please him. We see this in verse 80, where he says, "May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed." He desired to please his Lord and not know that shame that he experienced in his heart in times of disobedience. This is the man that we're looking at in this passage. And he experienced great struggles. So what did he do? This man who loved and feared his God, what did he do? He held fast to the perfections of his Lord. And if those perfections, those perfect attributes of God, those things which reveal his character had not been there, there would have been no hope. One commentator has said, "What the Lord says and does flows out of who he is." I think that's well said. What the Lord says and does flows out of who he is. And to look at this principle of holding fast the perfections of God, We'll begin with the very first verse, and we'll see the perfections of God's omnipotence, or his knowledge of all things. Big word for a statement needing clarity sometimes. It's simply God knowing all things, as well as his perfect sovereignty. A sovereignty which isn't always grand, but is sometimes very delicate in how it's used, which is the case here. He held fast to God's omniscience and his sovereignty. Listen to these words. "Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." The psalmist knew that within his mother's womb, God was designing him to be the person that he was, to have the characteristics that he did, to know the things that he did, to experience the things that he would. All of this was at the hands of an all-knowing, sovereign God who, in delicacy, created the psalmist and even ordained those things that he would experience. It's like David says in Psalm 139, which he gives a beautiful picture. He says that your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written for me all the days that were ordained, when as yet there was not one of them. So the psalmist held fast to these realities, knowing that he was in the hand of a gracious, all-knowing God. And so what does he pray? He prays that he would learn God's commandments. The one who made him, he prays that he would know him more and more. And that never stops, that need to know our God, including his wonderful providence. Now, think about this for a minute. How does knowing that God is all-knowing and perfectly sovereign provides stability for us when trouble comes? We know that we're in the hands of a God who controls all things, who knows all things, who is not surprised at our circumstances, even though we are. We know that we're in the hands of a loving God who hears and answers prayer and is intimately involved in our lives. And that provides wonderful, wonderful help and stability. So that's one of the things the psalmist relied on. The next one is God's righteousness and his faithfulness, both of them. We see this in verse 75, where the psalmist writes, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Now think about that for a minute. God had afflicted the psalmist, this one who loved him. Yes, he had done this. In whatever form it took, it could have been God disciplining his heart and revealing to him those things that were keeping him off that path of joyful obedience. God may have been convicting him of his sin, or God may have been using his enemies to draw the psalmist close to himself. The scripture does not tell us here, but we know that God had afflicted him, that the psalmist might be drawn nearer to him. And what perfection did he hold on to? The fact that this righteous God had afflicted him. Not a foolish, angry, temperamental being, but a righteous God whose judgments were right, and also whose faithfulness was very great. So as God's children, now first of all, we mustn't think that those horrific acts committed against us should be thought of God's disciplinary afflictions. God will judge those who do such horrific things. But I do not believe that afflictions experienced by the psalmist are like that. There are disciplinary acts in his heart and also around him to show him his need for the Lord. But the fact is that afflictions are for our good, that we might find, again, stability in a God who is faithful and righteous. In fact, where did the psalmist find his comfort? Earlier, he finds it in God's word. His comfort is there. And we read, for example, words of David in Psalm 145, that God is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. And that frequently recited statement, which the author would have known well, is the Lord is good and his loving kindness or his faithfulness is everlasting. So not only did the psalmist hold fast to God's omnipotence or omniscience, his all-knowing perfection, his sovereignty, and his righteousness, but he also held fast to God's mercy. We read in verse 76, "Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word, your servant." So he held fast and clung to the compassions of God, the mercy of God. He trusted the fact that this God who he loved, whose word he praised and constantly meditated on, was a merciful God. And again, if God wasn't, and if that was something uniquely different from his character, all hope would have been lost. But the fact is, friends, we have a God who is merciful, who we can come to in times of trouble when we are completely unstable. And we can know his mercy, we can know his kindness, his loving kindness that's everlasting. That's what gives us hope in the midst of difficult, unstable circumstances. So thus far, we've seen the psalmist holding fast to God's mercy, to his righteousness, to his sovereignty, to his omniscience, and now, closely related, he holds fast to God's compassion, where he says, "May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight." This man is not suffering from a cold here. He's saying, "I need your compassion because I feel like death is coming." Whether that was physical death or his heart was so weighed down, he felt like he couldn't live. That's the kind of desperate situation in which the psalmist found himself in. So he's crying out here, not casually praying, "May your compassion come to me that I may live. I'm desperate for it." And he trusted God, of whom it is written over and over again, what? "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth." Those are his words to Moses. Those are his words throughout the Psalms, all kinds of places in the prophets. You name it. They're all over the Bible. And he held fast to this wonderful reality. And what's the fruit of this? The fact that the psalmist could pray in desperation. He says, "I do it because your law is my delight." I love your word, God. It's what I want. It's what I cling to. Grant me compassion. And so be assured that when trials come, you have a compassionate God to go to. He's there, ready to minister to your hearts. And those can be major, major trials or little ones. And then the next perfection that the psalmist clings to is God's justice. In verse 78, he says, may the arrogant be ashamed because they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. He held fast to the confidence that the God who was compassionate, who was merciful, who was sovereign, all-knowing, was also a just God. And he prays that his enemies, who were constantly coming up with ways to harm him, speaking evil of him, forging lies against him, we see it throughout the psalm, he prays that they would be ashamed. Here he doesn't pray for their destruction and their demise, but for them to be put to shame, to be ashamed of themselves. Just like those who constantly spoke evil words against Christ, sometimes he would share things, ask a question, and they would leave embarrassed and in shame. So we see how this man is holding fast to God's perfection and maintaining stability. He hadn't given up. He hadn't fallen apart. What was he doing, by the way, in the meantime, when he was experiencing inappropriate treatment? It wasn't like sometimes we can be where we're furious and composing all kinds of things we'll say and angry thoughts and words. No. He said, I'll meditate on your precepts. That's how I use my time. And so we see that our glorious God, he's the one that can provide us stability in the midst of these struggles that come our way, in the midst of all the news that we see all around us, in the midst of diseases, in the midst of illnesses, in the midst of loss, all kinds of loss. How do we stay sane in this? Hold fast to the perfections of our God. And those perfections are most fully displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is gentle and humble in heart, and the one who will judge his enemies, and the one who has died to save us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So hold fast to God's perfections. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, and that you're our only hope, and that Jesus' work on our behalf is our only hope, and it's all because of your glorious character, your glorious nature, and your being. And we ask all of this, bless our time of prayer now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.